This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. A warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you back with us, folks. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall in situ and ready to preview the first event in the race for the FedEx Cup. The Northern Trust is going to be the focus and the feature this week, and we'll get stuck into the betting very, very shortly, and we'll take a quick look at the Hand of Wales Open on the European Tour as well. Thomas Peters at the top of the betting there at 11-1. A fun week of golf ahead of us. And Dave Tindall is joining me on the line now. Dave, good morning, or is it just about morning? Just about morning. Good morning to you, Dave.
Yes, good day to you, David, to cover both bases. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm looking forward to this week. I enjoyed the PGA Championship a couple of weeks ago as well. Better quickly mention that, because last time we did a podcast and you came up trumps with the winner, Colin Morikawa, a couple of weeks ago at Harding Park. A fantastic selection from you and an outstanding performance from Morikawa, who was only taking part in his second major championship. It was he's one of the best young talents in the business, and he showed it.
Yeah, I mean, that's three wins now. So sometimes it works, isn't it, that you win a major early in your career before any scar tissue or overthinking takes place, and that's exactly what Colin Morikawa did. And obviously it was really nice, the fact that there was that little angle that he was from California and had played that course a lot of times and most people hadn't even seen it. So it's nice when it works out logically like that. So, yeah, it was a nice winner from Morikawa. And we had that conversation, didn't we, about Morikawa, Victor Hovland and Matthew Wolff.
Yeah.
So it might not be the worst just to back all three, and we got a winner in one place. So, that again, that sort of worked out well.
And I remember that shot into 16 for a long time, the way he cut that driver into that drivable par 4. It was simply sensational, wasn't it? And it was the clutch putting early on in the round that set the base for those fireworks late.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, on those things, those margins, things completely can turn out differently. And Morikawa just stayed in the game with those putts, and then just found that kind of... Often you find in a major, maybe there's one shot that just separates and you think, right, this is this guy's turn, and he found it. I mean, there's lots of players in contention, and yet Morikawa, despite the lack of experience, just, you know, went out and won it. So fantastic from him.
Let's get stuck into this week then, starting with the Northern Trust. And here at William Hill, we are top price guaranteed on the top 20. Plus, we are paying 8 places on the opening event in the FedEx Cup playoffs. So that's a wonderful concession. So do check out the market at williamhill.com and on the app. And we're betting 12-1 the field here. Justin Thomas and Bryson DeChambeau both 12-1. Rory McIlroy and John Rahm both 14s. Dustin Johnson is 20-1. Jason Day is 22s, along with Xander Schauffele and Colin Morikawa. Patrick Reed is 30s, along with Patrick Cantlay. Webb Simpson 30-1 as well. Tony Finau and Brooks Koepka and Daniel Berger all 33s, and it's 45-1 and bigger the remainder. TPC Boston, the destination for the Northern Trust. The top 125 in the FedEx Cup are eligible before this field is trimmed to 70 for next week. And the field was set after last week's Wyndham Championship, which was won by Jim Herman, the prolific Jim Herman, winning last week on tour yet again, Dave.
Yeah, three wins, isn't it? That's
it's astonishing, really, isn't it?
If you weren't tuned into some of these quieter events, you might sort of never have heard of him. I bet a lot of, you know, major, you know, golf punters who back just on majors and other big events thinking, well, who's he? Who's Jim Herman? And yeah, he's a 3-time tour winner. I don't know. It's odd, isn't it?
I think Rob Bolton tweeted, is it 3 top 25s on tour in the and he's won all three?
Yeah.
It's an incredible record that in recent times that Jim Herman's got anyway. And yeah, astonishing run
from
him.
Big mate of Donald Trump, isn't he?
Big mate of Donald Trump. And did he tweet before the event that he'd played with Donald Trump twice before and won straight afterwards, and he just played with Donald Trump last week and wins this week. So there you go.
That's a new one for Keith Elliott's next book, isn't
it? Yeah, we don't have to look through the stats, do we?
Trump. Yeah, incredible. Probably leave the Trump talk there before we get into trouble.
I think so. The points go up in the playoffs, so the hunt for that spot in the final 30 for Eastlake and the $10 million bonus, or whatever the bonus is now, hots up this week in Massachusetts. And this design, it's an Arnold Palmer design, TPC Boston, plays to a par of 71, measures 7,342 yards on the scorecard. And Gil Hans modified the course in 2007. There's plenty of room off the tee here, and we've got quite a lot of course form to go on as well, because TPC Boston hosted the Dell Technologies Championship from 2003 through to 2018. So we've got a decent bank of course form to have a look through. What have we learned from those events going into this event that we can use this week, Dave? Anything?
Well, I'd hope so, Dave. there's certainly an emphasis on doing everything well, I think. Sometimes you look down the stats and you think, well, you can get away with it with the putting maybe this week, or you don't have to hit it that great off the tee or whatever. But I looked at, say the last three winners. Well, one obvious trend to begin with is the cream rises to the top in this event. And you do get some very good winners. DeChambeau, Thomas, McIlroy, the last three winners at the course.
Yeah.
Fowler as well, back in 2015. Or maybe Fowler's not quite, but he was world number nine when Fowler won. And you look at, I looked at the tee to green and strokes gained putting stats of those four winners. DeChambeau was sixth in both. Thomas first, tee to green, eighth putting. McIlroy third and seventh, Fowler sixth and second. So basically, they're both elements, both those key elements, they had firing well. So I think if there's a weakness, I mean, there's a fair amount of players at the moment where you think, if only they could putt. But I think you can't get away with it here. So I'm looking for someone with a nice balanced game. If you narrowed it down to maybe the all-round stats, again, just whoever, it's just full of the top finishes that were like second for the week, first for the week, that kind of thing. So definitely a balanced attack. Definitely need birdies as well, Dave. The average winning score's a bit better than 17 under. So you've got to really rack up the birdies. And it's kind of a nice sort of, not gentle, but a nice sort of scorable way into the playoffs.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of talk about high ball flight here as well at TPC Boston. That's something Tiger Woods has mentioned in the past, that if you've got high ball flight and you can hold these fast, firm greens, and hopefully it will play that way as well, because that controls the scoring, doesn't it? The weather and the firmness of the greens will dictate the winning number.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you could look for some correlating courses. I mean, maybe the Masters might be one, in terms of you need high ball flight there to land it softly on the...
Yeah, and possibly Bay Hill
greens
as well, maybe.
Yeah, so that's sort of played into my thinking a little bit.
Okay, I've got a couple of selections this week.
Yeah, I've got three.
Okay, I'll let you lead off then.
Yeah, I'm sort of cashing in on the fact that William Hill are best price on all these leading fancies. There's so many good winners here and there's plenty to get stuck into, but the fact that we are biggest just makes those sort of borderline prices really quite attractive. So the one that I keep coming back to is Patrick Reed at 30-1.
Okay.
I just think he's got everything going for him this week. He's looking for that balance. 25th strokes going tee to green, 9th strokes going putting this season. Looks like a player peaking again. He was tied 9th at the Wyndham last week, finished well. 13th at the PGA, tied 10th at Memorial before then. And he's just brilliant, isn't he? In these big events. I mean, he's won this tournament has changed names, hasn't it, in recent times. But he's won two of the last four editions of this, which played as the Barclays at Bethpage. He won there. Then he won at Liberty National. So it's not like he's just has to go to the same course. He just likes the playoffs. He likes playing against the big players. I mean, all his wins just seem to be... He's got the Masters, WGCs, these two playoffs events. He just thrives when the best are in town. And he just looks, I mean, he's eighth in birdie average this year. Everywhere I look at it, he's got everything going for him. And obviously, maybe the last thing he would want is some course form. And that's fantastic too. Top six in three of his last four starts at TPC Boston. So I just think he's got a lot going, an awful lot going for him, in fact, at 30 to 1. And you could argue he should be, he's always a little bit bigger price than you think he should be, really, given the events he does win. And I think he should be nearer the nearer 20 to 1 than 30 to 1, to be honest. The 30 to 1, no brainer for me.
30 to 1. Patrick Reed, Dave's number one selection here. It's a shame the crowds aren't there for Reed, because I think he gets, he loves it, doesn't he? You know, those Boston crowds, they talk about them in, they can get quite vocal, can't they?
Yeah, I mean, he does. And and when golf returned without crowds, I think he found it a problem, but I think he's kind of got used to it. I think he can get himself up from just looking around at the leaderboard and the names on it. So that's become less of a worry as time's gone on, and I think that shows in his results.
Yeah, agreed. Patrick Reed, 30 to 1, Dave's number one selection here. I'm going to take a chance with Abraham Ancer as my number one pick this week. I think we all know that Ancer is a winner in waiting, and Breakthrough could well come on a course we know he likes. Ancer was seventh on his only start at this track a couple of years ago, and he produced outstanding numbers from tee to green, picking up plenty of strokes off the tee and on approach on that performance. And he was in red-hot form in the lead-up to the PGA Championship, and a slight disappointment at Harding Park a fortnight ago means that he comes into this as a bigger price than he would have had he contended there. And encouragingly, his stats were still decent at Harding Park. His short game wasn't quite as sharp as it needed to be, so he couldn't contend. I think there'll be less stress in that area this week. And Ancer is ready to win. And I think with the eight places on offer, getting 55 to 1 on Abraham Ancer looks like good business to me. So I'll take the Mexican as my number one pick this week.
Yeah, very good. I'm going back against the front end for a very well-known player that I don't know why he's not in the top, sort of in that 14 to 1 bracket. Dustin Johnson at 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's sort of been, you could see why he was starting to get pushed out. But what's he got to do to convince people that he should be back in amongst the Rahms and the McIlroys and the Thomases? Absolutely superb in the PGA Championship. Just got done by Morikawa. But he was runner-up there, 12th at St. Jude as a kind of building up. And people forget, yeah, only a few tournaments before that he'd won the Travelers. So it's not like he's, I don't know why he's not slotted back in at 14s, that kind of price. Mm. I mean, maybe one of the things that hampers DJ into not getting enough wins, although by God he gets plenty of them, is his putting. But he was sensational with the putter at the PGA, ranked fifth, gained six strokes, which was his best in ages. And tee to green, something was going a bit wrong. Memorial and 3M Open, he lost over five shots tee to green. Well, he's gained over six shots in that category in the last two events. So he's really got his ball striking back. And then course form, last 3 years, 7th, 18th and 8th, a couple of years before that, he's got a pair of fourths. I don't know what he's got to do to sort of slot back in. I know Mike Grenham, formerly of this podcast, was a big fan of him for the PGA, and I had a few quid on him too there. He's such a class player, proven winner. Again, I think he does better in these early playoff events than some of the others, and I just think he's got loads in the tank and can really have a go at this.
20 to 1, Dustin Johnson, your second selection. I'm going at a slightly bigger price to Cameron Champ as my other pick at 70 to 1 this week. Cameron Champ, I know you were keen on his chance for the PGA Championship, and I was just so impressed with his demeanour in the PGA Championship, and he's starting to gather a bit of consistency as well. He got a bit of a bad break, didn't he, on the, I think it was the 9th on Sunday, where he looked to be really contending, and he did hit a wayward drive, but he was stymied by a tree, which is unfortunate. Had to chip out and then compounded the error by missing his iron shot and made double there, and that was really the end of his challenge. But hopefully can continue his progress this week. And this course is kind to drivers of his quality, and he's clearly one of the best in the business in that regard. And I think he will have been working hard on his iron game in the interim, and I think he'll enjoy this course. And In his last four starts where he's had a positive putting week, he's finished 25th or better. So I'm hoping if the putter rolls for Champ this week, he'll contend. And I thought 70-1 was fair on Cameron Champ.
Yep, very good. Certainly looked at him. Obviously, I've been quite keen on him. Did I mention him? I was thinking somewhere I was quite keen on him.
Yeah, did we speak about him on the podcast or not?
I don't know. No, I was convinced I'd said something, but I couldn't. Yeah. Maybe we did.
Couldn't play
it. Someone can play it back. But yeah, it certainly made sense. I mean, he's a big hitter who makes birdies. I mean, that's a good recipe for this course, obviously. And yeah, 72-1 is interesting.
I did look at Matthew Wolff as well as a potential bet here at 60-1.
Why not? Yeah.
Your third selection?
Yeah, again, I'm going back to the front of the market. And again, I think he should be shorter. Webb Simpson at 30-1.
Okay.
Pretty simple argument. He's won here before. It was quite a few years ago, back in 2011. But he's, you know, if you've won at a course, that's good. To be honest, maybe it's because he's been pretty patchy with his course form here. But he did open 68-63 last year. And I think the way he's playing at the minute, again, I don't know why he's not nearer 20s and 30s. I mean, he's the world number six, a second in birdie average this season. I said you need a balanced attack. He's third on the all-around this season. He's got a recent win under his belt. A couple of recent wins under his belt either side of the lockdown. And yeah, he's just full of confidence. Obviously, with Simpson, it used to be the putter was completely hampering him when he had to go back to a regular style. But he's now one of the better putters in the game. So very much looking for players who were ranked high in both strokes gained off tee to green and putting. And Simpson absolutely brings that all-round package at the moment, so I thought 30-1 best price again at William Hill. I'll play him
at the top end of the market then. Dave, we got 12-1 joint favorites Justin Thomas and Bryson DeChambeau. Are you concerned about the putting aspect for Justin Thomas? Is that what put you off? Because I was looking at Thomas as he's the one I like at the forefront of the market, just because his iron play is so elite at the moment, and he just looks like if he continues to strike his irons this well, he'll win again very, very soon. And he has won at this course before, of course. And I thought 12-1 was quite reasonable on Justin Thomas. I had him clear favourite in my book.
Yeah, I thought he would be 10s rather than 12s. And I thought he should be ahead of DeChambeau. I think it is just the putting that he can have flat weeks with it. But absolutely no surprise if he goes on and wins.
Yeah.
Because he's just playing great, as you say. So yeah, I mean, you can make a case for so many of them, can't you, really, at the front end of the betting?
Yeah, definitely. Jason Day's another one. With that string of incredibly impressive performances and the course form to back it up as well. I think there'll be many punters going in and thinking 22-1 each way, Jason Day, with those 8 places, I'll take that.
Yeah, and then, of course, Morikawa, we've no idea quite how he's going to react to this, whether he just kicks on and plays with that, you know, extra sheen that a major winner has. But sometimes it goes against you, doesn't it? You win a major and you think, right, I've got to start showing that I am one, and you go the other way for a while. But he's certainly interesting. Xander Schauffele's always seems to have the stats to suggest he'll go well.
He does. He always seems to be in that bracket, 22s, though, rather than with Patrick Reed and Patrick Cantlay at 30-1, where maybe that's where he belongs at the moment.
Well, I think so. Maybe he's the example I'm looking for to why I think Simpson and Reed are better bets in terms of they win more and they win. So I don't see why. And they've got more recent wins under the name, so I don't really know why. I mean, it used to be a little while when Xander Schauffele, because I think he came onto the scene fast, was being underrated. Now I think he's slightly overrated in terms of price.
Oh, definitely. I agree. I agree with you. I think that the one thing about Morikawa is he's not... If the greens are really quick this week, Dave, he's not quite proven on lightning-quick greens yet, is he, Morikawa? And they usually are at TPC Boston. And just looking through his overall profile, obviously the win at Harding Park, he won at Muirfield Village, but he won the workday on those slightly slower greens. Then they quickened them up for the Memorial, and he struggled on the greens. That's just my only slight reservation with Morikawa.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's the kind of physical aspect. I think the mental aspect is maybe the one that puts me off, because I think it's so hard to just win on the back of a major and all the attention he suddenly had. So all in all, I'm swerving him at 22s. I mean, no giggling at the back, but I thought 33s on Finau is an each-way price.
Yeah.
Given what he's done of late. And fourth here last year, just plays well in big events. But maybe he's been chopped a little bit. I thought Adam Scott's interesting as well at 45s.
Definitely.
Won his first event here. I mean, a really good performance to come back with 22nd, having not played in ages at the PGA. And again, he's someone who's used to, you think, putting is completely his Achilles heel, but he putted well at the PGA. So I think he could have the all-round package. And certainly a player maybe in the Ronnie O'Sullivan mould and doesn't need a load of events to show his best.
Yeah, Adam Scott available at 45-1. What do you make of Brooks Koepka at 33-1? Because you can only play this alpha male figure if you're going to actually produce on the course. And he's had a few digs at Bryson DeChambeau. I've personally quite enjoyed it, and it's been entertaining. But when you're having pops like that, and then you're getting a massage on midway through a third round at a PGA Championship, it sort of loses something, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
It makes you look a bit silly.
I mean, you could take the argument for a player who is that good, any time he tees it up at 33-1, you back him blind.
Yeah. And that nearly paid off, didn't it, a few weeks ago?
It did nearly pay off a few weeks ago at St Jude, but that was absolutely one of his favourite courses on tour, and he's not had a top 10 here in four visits. Not disgraced himself, but he's still not had a top 10. So certainly Boston isn't in his favourite course list like Southwind was. So, and he missed the cut last week again, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's too many not quite rights about him at the minute where I just don't quite trust him.
Any others you want to mention?
Well, again, just at the prices. I mean, how quickly Tommy Fleetwood's been thrown down in the 55-1 shots.
Yeah.
When, the odd good... I mean, he was up. If you'd said halfway through the USPGA, it'd be 55-1 for this. You thought you were mad because he looked like he was coming to challenge for a major again, and yet there he is down at 55-1 spurned. And he's sorry to use Abraham Answer as the example, Dave, but you kind of think Fleetwood's a better player. Obviously, Answer has the better form, but I don't think Fleetwood's far away from.
Do you not
from getting it together? You see, some of his numbers look iffy. Some of his iron play, but he's so good.
I think he is so good, but I'm really concerned about that.
Him at the minute.
I'm just concerned about the iron play after the opening couple of rounds of the PGA Championship. He's lost strokes on approach in five and six rounds since. And last week, it was bad, wasn't it? I mean, he lost over six strokes on approach last week, which is... That strikes me as maybe a bigger problem. I mean, he was minus five strokes on Sunday total. That includes losing strokes on the greens as well. That's very concerning for me.
Well, I mean, you can spin it. I mean, if you look at his last two second rounds at the PGA Championship, a major on a tough course, and the wind and were 64s.
Yeah.
So there's some good going in there. But I have to admit, I looked at the price and thought, wow, that's a bit. And then I did look at those approach numbers, and across the PGA and the Wyndham, he's lost nearly 10 strokes on approach.
Yeah, and I think that
and it's going the wrong way. So it was enough to put me off. But I'm playing into the idea that players can bounce back quick.
Oh, when
that
of
good.
Course they can. Yeah, I think that Friday at the Wyndham was a bit smoke and mirrors as well, because the putter saved him, really. I know he shot a low round, but it was basically through the flat stick rather than anything else.
Isn't it weird? It's like if only could have carried that putting into another event.
Yeah.
When he's needed it. So he's done the classic, one thing gets fixed and then the other thing goes. But obviously if they do coincide, we could be looking back and saying, how did he go off at that price?
Did you see his grip change as well, Fleetwood? He was putting in a style I've never seen anyone use before, really.
Is this at the PGA?
No, at the Wyndham last week.
Didn't say any of the Wyndham.
Yeah, his left hand was barely touching the putter, basically.
Right.
Just his thumb on the putter. It was a... I'd not seen it before. I'd not seen him utilise it before. It worked.
4.8 strokes on the green. Yeah. So something worked.
Yeah. Well, interesting.
Interesting to watch him. Tiger Woods, finally. Well, I read somewhere he's something like 107 under par and 10 of visits here.
I think 45-1 is fair on Tiger.
Yeah, I do. I don't think he's been penalised for being Tiger or having won here before, you know, which maybe he would have been at 30s or 33, but 45s is saying, if you like Tiger, this is your chance to back him.
Absolutely, 45-1, Tiger Woods. Let's have a quick word on the ISPS Hand of Wales Open as well. Thomas Peters heads the betting there at 11-1. Sam Horsfield, 12-1. Hao Tong Lee, 16s. Robert McIntyre, 18-1. Andrew Johnston is 22s, along with Gavin Green. Jordan Smith, 30-1. Mikko Korhonen is 33s, 35-1 and bigger. The remainder are back-to-back events at Celtic Manor. We'll have to see if the weather cooperates again this week. Sam Horsfield has won two of these events on this UK swing. And he's towards the top of the betting with Thomas Peters this week. And we were just waiting for Horsfield, weren't we, really, Dave? Because we've heard so much about him for the last 5 or 6 years, Horsfield. And, of course, Ian Poulter has been talking about him on social media as well. And he's kind of mentored Horsfield to a certain extent. And those two breakthroughs have come in quick succession. And he's could go in again, but I just wonder whether he'll be celebrating again.
Yeah, I'm obviously a prodigy so many prodigies, it seems, that fall by the wayside, and we've had to be a little bit patient with him. But two out of the last three, I suppose he missed the cut in between, which is a little concerning if you think, has he got the complete consistency to do it back-to-back weeks? I know two out of three is pretty good, but from what I've read, the course is going to be, it's not like at Muirfield when they definitely changed it,
yeah,
or tried to change it and made it faster. And
I don't think you can do that, can you, with the conditions?
No, they're just sort of saying, all right, chaps, on you go again. I suppose the only thing is Mother Nature's added a helping hand by giving a bit more wind this week than last.
Yeah.
So I've got a pick, actually, in the event.
Very good.
I didn't want to get too short. I mean, it's very obvious names. You could just think, well, I'll replay last week's leaderboard. I'm going to play someone who wasn't bang up there, but did okay. Alexander Bjork.
40-1.
40-1, yeah. I thought that was a decent enough price because he was 27th last week, but did his best work on the weekend, shot 66, 68 to finish with. I mean, he was third in his previous start at the Hero Open. Six in Qatar, which I think is a decent measure if you're looking for someone who's played well in the wind before. He played well, didn't he? He'd come runner-up to Eddie Pepperell in the British Masters before, so he tends to play well on these shores. He's just someone I think is a good player. And sometimes when he gets a bit... marks his card a bit with a few good performances, then his price can get cut. But he drifts back to 40-1, these sort of prices. And it's not the best ever field, is it, by a long, long way? So I thought 40-1 on him with enough snippets there to think he's due a good week again is enough to get me involved. I wouldn't go deep because I'll be honest, I've not had my eye on the European Tour the same way I've had it on the PGA Tour. But sometimes... ignorance is bliss, and you just go on the numbers a little bit. And I've not seen him play some terrible shot that I'm sure someone's going to tell me about. from the numbers and his past record on British courses, I thought 40-1 was decent.
Very good. Alexander Bjork at 40-1 for Dave. Don't forget as well, this week we've got the Women's Open. Danielle Kang is the 7-1 favourite there. Minji Lee is available at 10s. Brooke Henderson, 18-1. Inbee Park is 20s. Carlotta Seganda, 22s. And it's 25-1 and bigger the rest. So check out the betting at williamhill.com and on the app for that as well. We've got five picks between us for the Northern Trust. Your three selections, Dave Tindall?
Yeah, just quickly back to the Women's Open. If you follow Matt Cooper Golf on Twitter,
good tip.
He'll point you the way for that.
Yeah, and if you ask him, he'll come. I'm sure he's written pieces and he'll come up with a couple of selections, won't he, Matt? I'd imagine.
Yeah, definitely. So this week's selections, I'm going to go a point each way on my three in America. So that's a point each way, Patrick Reed at 30s. These are in order of preference for me. A point each way, DJ, Dustin Johnson at 20-1. And a point each way, Webb Simpson at 30-1. And then in Europe, in the Wales Open, I'll just have half a point each way on Alexander Bjork at 40s.
I've got a couple of picks for the Northern Trust. I'll go a point each way on both of them. 55-1 Abraham Anser and 70-1 Cameron Champ are my two selections for the Northern Trust this week. Don't forget, here at William Hill on the Northern Trust, the first event in the FedEx Cup playoffs. We are top price guaranteed on the top 20 in the market. Plus, we are paying the eight places as well. So check that out at williamhill.com and on the app. Dave Tindall, thank you for your company.
Cheers, Dave. And we're back on next week, are we?
We are. We're back on next week. We're going to try and make this more regular, which is, well, good news for us because we get to talk about golf for half an hour on a Tuesday morning, which is always good.
Yes, absolutely.
And hopefully you feel the same way as well, listeners.
Come on, listeners.
Yeah. Thank you for tuning in. Do follow Dave on Twitter at Dave Tindall Golf. You can follow myself at D Kellner. Check out all the betting, including that concession at williamhill.com and on the app. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week. If you're having a bet this week on the golf, the Northern Trust, the Hand of Wales Open, or indeed the Women's Open, the very best of luck. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week. Good luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.